Hello, movie lovers. Welcome to Does It Hold Up? This week is going to be a short episode. Unless I keep pausing in between all my words. Just to extend it a little bit more. I sound like William Shatner.
No, you sound like the sloth from Zootopia.
Oh my gosh. You are right.
Yeah, that's enough. I could not deal with an entire podcast of that.
It'd be great. But yes, it is going to be a shorter episode this week because we're not bringing you a movie to see if it still holds up. We are bringing you the Oscars. Well, our Oscars, because we are picking every movie for all 23 categories, what we think is going to win.
Or what our heart says should win.
Sure. Which you're probably wrong on those, but we'll get there. Last year, we ended up only doing like the top six categories.
Yeah.
We said, fuck that. We're doing all 23 categories.
Might as well. Go big or go home.
Absolutely. So we figured we'd bring you all 23 categories. Let's go ahead and jump right into this with makeup and hair. So here are your nominees. Golda, Maestro, which I'm going to call Maestro for the rest of this podcast because it's funny to me, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow. I picked Maestro.
Really?
Listen, the Academy is a sucker for when people physically transform into somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley Cooper became Leonard Bernstein. Like, almost exactly. The Academy, that's not going to go over their heads. Why would you pick?
I picked Poor Things. I thought they did a fantastic job with especially Willem Dafoe's facial prosthetic.
Yeah.
I thought that looked really good.
Correct.
And the hair just looks awesome in that movie.
It does, but I think it's really understated makeup outside of Willem Dafoe. There's not a lot going on.
To be honest, if I could have a secondary pick, I would want Society of the Snow. I know it's not going to win, but I think they made them look so good in that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's actually my second pick, too. If I had a backup choice, it would be Society of the Snow.
Moving on to costume design. The nominees are Jacqueline Duran for Barbie, Jacqueline West for Killers of the Flower Moon, Yancey Yates and Dave Crossman for Napoleon,
Morozhnik.
I am terrible at names.
You are.
For Oppenheimer and Holly Waddington for Poor Things.
Okay.
I also gave this for Poor Things. Those costumes are insane and they are so unique to be both futuristic and from the past. It works so wonderfully.
They're boring. Sorry. Poor Things is a boring movie and the costumes weren't that great.
I think the costumes were one of my favorite things about that movie.
That's like picking up, would you rather pick up cat shit or dog shit? Like, it's all bad. Just depends on which one you'd rather pick up.
Wow.
I went with Barbie.
That's fair. I could see that was my secondary pick because of having to make the little Barbie clothes into actual Barbie clothes.
I think Barbie's gonna maybe win 2 Academy Awards, even though it's nominated for, I believe, 8. I think it's gonna win 2. This is one of the 2, and we'll get to the other one later.
Fair.
But I think it's really difficult to take something that people grew up with, they know and they love, and make it real. And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Poor Things was like, I don't know, we're just going to make some shit up and everybody's going to go with it.
Dude, I feel like Poor Things has fashion forward looks.
I swear to God.
Like people are going to have those poofy shoulders.
If poofy shoulders come back in the next like 6 months because of Poor Things, I'm going to Mars. I'm leaving the planet.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Unexpected Futurama reference.
All the time, every time.
Let's go ahead and move on to live action shorts. Your nominees are The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Quick one sentence about each one of these movies. The After is about a man dealing with the grief of losing his wife and his daughter to a mugging. Invincible is about a young kid, a true story about a young kid who's in a lot of trouble, goes to juvie, breaks out of juvie, and kills himself. Messed up. Knight of Fortune is about two old men who develop a friendship while grieving over their lost loved ones. Red, White, and Blue is about leaving Arkansas to come to Illinois to get an abortion, with a weird twist in that one. And The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is a Wes Anderson movie. That's the best way to describe it. It has very little story, but a lot of personality.
That is the most apt thing I've ever heard of a Wes Anderson movie ever. There's, I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
Which makes it interesting that this is the one I chose to win. I just think it was the best made out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Anderson is due for an Oscar. This is going to be it. I actually really like this one because his personality in short form works way better than in 2 hours.
Yeah. Although I can deal with it better on a shorter.
Yes, span. This movie probably was a little too long. 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Might have been a little too long. They could have got like some. 30. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is going to win this one.
That being said, Knight of Fortune has my heart.
Okay, so if you were telling people out of these shorts to go find and watch, which ones are you telling them?
Obviously the Oscar winner, which I think is going to be the Oscar winner, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Red, White, and Blue is a...
The twist will mess you up.
The twist will mess you up, but it's such a hot topic of, you know, abortions and having to go to abortions. And The Knight of Fortune is just really well made.
Yeah, and you can skip the other two. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on to animated shorts, we have Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
One sentence description of each of these. Letter to a Pig is about an old man reading a letter he wrote to a pig that saved his life during World War II to a bunch of students. And one student dreams about saving that pig while killing the bad guys. I won't say more than that. 95 Senses is about an old man who talks about his life through his five senses and says, maybe we get 90 more once we die. Our Uniform is a very unique short, all about school uniforms in, I believe, Iran, and it's visually done on clothing. Pachyderm is the story of a young girl who is sexually abused by her grandfather, and she's terrified of him as she sees him as an elephant with giant tusks, and she can't get over it until his death. And War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, is about World War One or Two. I think it's One. That two enemies of opposite sides are playing chess through a carrier pigeon until they have to kill each other.
I honestly give it to War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Even though the music at the end is very heavy-handed, I'm a sucker for that kind of story of two opposing sides of the battlefield are just both human.
Yeah.
And the animation is beautiful.
It's fine. War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, feels very cheap because it was made from Weta Workshop, which is the ones who did like The Hobbit and all the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff like that. It used the Unreal Engine. That's what video games use to get the realistic look. And it's by a former member of the Beatles. It's with their music, and their kid is the one who made it. This doesn't feel right. It feels cheap. It feels like they spent $1 billion to try to win an Oscar.
I could see it.
There's no love in this movie.
I could see it. My secondary pick would be 95 Senses.
That is my first pick.
Nice.
I think it's a wonderful story. Out of these five, if you're going to watch any of them, 95 Senses is the one you should go and find. It's currently available on YouTube through The New Yorker. Go watch it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And there's a great twist about halfway through, which you can figure out if you're paying attention enough. But if you don't, it's okay because it's a great surprise.
True.
And I really hope it wins.
I hope that one wins. I just think War is Over is going to win.
Our next category is documentary shorts. And your nominees are The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and finally, Nai Nai and Why Poe.
One sentence about each of these would be The ABCs of Book Banning is all about, like it says, book banning in the U.S. and talking to kids about how it's bad. The Barber of Little Rock follows a man who opens a barber teaching shop, basically, and also opens a bank that can give out loans at low rates so that people
not even loans, grants. He helps people pay off that they might not have to pay the money back based on their circumstance.
Yeah, most people pay him back, but Island in Between is about an island between China and Taiwan that has been basically the battleground for a lot of things, and it changes into mostly about the guy who the movie is made about, so it's not, yeah. The Last Repair Shop is talking all about this repair shop in L.A. who repair instruments for kids at school, and the people who does the repairing. And then 99 Waipo is about a guy, two grandparents.
Grandmas,
from different sides of his family, which I found interesting. And just them. It's basically family footage that...
It's home movies that he decided he could make a documentary about, and he couldn't.
And there's no story to it, so...
Okay, so real quick, before we say who we think is going to win, one thing I don't like about 99 Waipo, although it's very enjoyable, and if you have a chance to see it, you absolutely should. In this documentary, they straight up say, everything we're doing is because you're visiting us. That's not a documentary. The person behind the camera should not be affecting what's happening in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
This is a documentary supposed to be showing you quote unquote real life. But the fact that they say that makes this less of a documentary and more of a narrative. And I think it's cheaply put into this category.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And I hope it doesn't win.
Yeah. What's your winner?
My winner is The Last Repair Shop. I think it's a beautiful short about people who donate their time to repair musical instruments for students of multiple schools so that they can know what it's like to be part of the music world and be inspired and find something to do rather than be on the streets after school and all this stuff. And not a lot of those exist anymore. And so this is just the story of one of them that still does. And every single person that works in each section of the shop has such a unique and interesting story that it's definitely worth watching.
It gets my Oscar as well. I said it best in my review on
Letterboxd.
It's all about the people who repair the music and the music that repairs us.
Well said. Well said.
Moving on to documentary feature, we have Bobby Wine, the People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol.
Do we need a one sentence for this one, for these?
If you're interested, go look them up.
Yeah. But also, you don't have to be interested in any of these.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them are that great.
Yeah, I honestly gave it to 20 Days in Mariupol.
So that one's about people spending 20 days in Mariupol during the Ukraine-Russian war that's been going on. And showing the hardships of war. We've seen it 1,000 times. This one's a little bit unique because it's modern.
I gave it simply because it's in Ukraine and that's been such a hot topic.
I also gave it to that one because it's gonna win. All right, let's move on to international feature. The category that every year I say I'm gonna watch these movies, and then there's just so many to watch that I don't really get around to them.
Well, not only that, but some of them are really hard to find.
That's true. They are extremely hard to find. But let's go ahead and take a look at the nominees. Io Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom. The winner is The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom. How do I know this? Because it's also nominated for Best Picture and 4 other awards. It is the hot topic of international films. There's no way it's gonna lose this.
Which upsets me greatly, and why I chose this as a heart pick for Society of the Snow. I think that's a better overall movie. I'm gonna be very vocal about the fact that I hated The Zone of Interest. It was terribly made. It was terribly done. It just made no sense to be making this a movie and making everyone's talk so much about it, having so many nods for Oscars.
It was a very uninteresting movie, which is crazy because I love movies about war and just historical pieces. And this is all about the life of a German family where the father is the
commander,
the SS commander of Auschwitz, mm-hmm. and what their daily life looks like living right next to the concentration camp. Everything about that sounds amazing. And then somehow Jonathan Glazer made it the most boring movie I've watched of the year.
Seriously.
Nothing happens, but it's getting so much love. There's no way it loses this.
Give it to Society of the Snow. It's a good movie. Go watch it.
I will explode while watching the Oscars if it goes to anybody but Zone of Interest.
But go watch Society of the Snow. Moving on to sound. We have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible Deck Reckoning. Not just part one anymore, apparently.
No, they got rid of that. They said, no, we don't want to be part one. So I expect in 2025, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2 is going to have a brand new name.
Yeah. Oppenheimer and The Zone of Interest. Blech. I'm obviously giving it to Oppenheimer because I thought their sound design was amazing. And it just, oh, so
yeah,
good.
I know it put you on edge the entire time.
Oh my God. Everything about it was made to like get you viscerally. And it did.
All right. I want to give it to Oppenheimer. I do believe Oppenheimer has a very good chance of winning this award as well. But I'm actually going to give it to The Creator.
Ooh.
I think the only thing, well, one of two things that worked in this movie was the visuals and the sound. Mm-hmm. The whirring motors of the robotic people, the
so
explosions,
good.
The spaceships. Everything seemed to be real in this movie. And it's just, it's kind of great.
Yeah.
I think the movie's absolute trash.
I was going to say, it's one of the few good things about that movie.
But sound was really good. Visual effects. Speaking of The Creator, it's nominated here as well. Along with Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, and Napoleon.
Napoleon.
Okay. I have watched almost every one of these movies, except for a select few. Mostly because I couldn't find them, or I wasn't really that interested in them. Napoleon happens to be one of those movies. So I can't say if it's going to win or if it's not going to win anything, but I haven't heard talk about it. It hasn't been winning awards at other ceremonies. It hasn't. So I don't think it's going to win anything. Just putting that out there now.
I don't think so either.
You know, go ahead and say your pick for this one first.
My pick is The Creator. One of the few absolutely amazing things to come out of that movie was the visual effects. They were able to make everything that was so weird look so normal in that world. Like, the visuals was the thing that I went out of that movie being like, I'm okay, I saw that.
Okay, that's fair. Let me take you back a couple of years. Watching the Oscars, and you're watching every single best original song performance, and Natu came up, and you got so excited to watch them perform.
I was so hyped.
You were so hyped. And there was an outside chance they were going to win Best Original Song that year. But nobody was sure. And then they won. And you jumped up off the couch super excited. Mm-hmm. And you weren't the only one. Because if you watch the crowd that year, everybody exploded. Like, it was the greatest victory in history for that song winning. And I have a feeling we're getting it again. Because I believe Godzilla Minus One is going to win Best Visual Effects. And I think everybody in that auditorium is going to lose their mind when it does.
I could see that happening, and I would be along with them with the whole jumping up.
Same.
Like, this, that will make up for Oscars in the past. Kind of like how Natu made up for the fact that The Greatest Showman didn't win so many years ago.
Oh, God, that was embarrassing.
Ugh. But if Godzilla gets it, I would be very happy.
It's a visually stunning movie. Mm-hmm. It's on the lips of everyone who's seen it. And The Creator is great. The other three are all very boring visually.
Yeah.
Nothing new and exciting. This is a Godzilla that, for the first time, Godzilla's real in this movie. He doesn't look like a giant CGI monster. Obviously, he is.
But he also doesn't look like a guy in a suit.
No. There's so much weight to this Godzilla that I just can't imagine it's going anywhere else. And it's not just him. There's an entire shot of Godzilla attacking a boat, swimming alongside a boat. The boat is all CGI. And nobody knew.
Wow.
When the director was like, oh, this whole shot is CGI, is composites. People were like, I'm sorry, what the did you just say? You mean you didn't even like drone shot the boat or use boat footage from something else? You built that all from scratch? And he said, yeah. And people were like, gotta go watch it again. So I have a feeling it might win.
Moving on to film editing. We have Laurent Senchal for Anatomy of a Fall, Kevin Tent, The Holdovers, Thelma Schoonmaker, Killers of the Flower Moon, Jennifer Lam, Oppenheimer, and Yorgos, I can never say this last name.
Mavrocerides.
Of Poor Things. I honestly think it's going to go to Oppenheimer. This was a movie that could have been so long. And it is long, but you don't always feel that it's long. And when you do feel that it's long, that was purposeful. And so I think it's going to get this editing nom.
I'm right there with you. I have a feeling it's closer in the voting than we think it's going to be.
Probably.
With Killers of the Flower Moon coming in a close second.
Ugh.
That movie could have been really bad if it was edited any other way.
It was pretty bad to begin
with. But imagine how much worse it could be.
Oh, anything could be worse.
No. Nah. It would have been terrible. So I'm going to also give it to Oppenheimer. But I will not be shocked if any of these other movies win this award instead.
I give it to anything but Killers of the Flower Moon.
Interesting. I would give it to anything but Poor Things.
Fair enough.
All right, let's move to production design. A very complicated category. And your nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I don't know here. So earlier I said Barbie might have a chance of winning two. I didn't pick Barbie here because it's an outside chance and I didn't like the movie, but I know it's possible it could win.
Mm-hmm. Very possible.
But I picked Poor Things.
I did as well.
And now I'm starting to kind of question that because Poor Things is all original sets. It's a steampunk futuristic aesthetic. It's interesting, but it's also boring at the same time. Barbie had to once again take things every little girl and boy grew up with and make them life-sized. And they didn't CGI a lot of it. Her car, her house, her everything. It's real. All of the Barbie dream houses in that movie were built on a soundstage for real.
Mm-hmm.
They had to take things that are 0.1 inches big and scale them up to fit real humans. And they had to make them perfect because there are Barbie freaks out there who would notice if they weren't.
Yeah, they would.
That's hard to do. So I'm kind of thinking Barbie might get this one. I'm going to stick with Poor Things, but Barbie might take it.
I'm honestly sticking with Poor Things. I just think having such a surrealist film, creating that kind of a design, production design, it takes a lot of work and talent, so I think it's going to get it.
Fair.
We're moving on to original song. The nominees are The Fire Inside by Flaming Hot, which I am surprised by.
By Flaming Hot? You mean In Flaming
Hot. In Flaming Hot. You know, by, you know.
Okay. There's no G there, man.
Sorry, Flaming.
Flaming Hot.
Flaming Hot. Yeah. Anyway, the other nominees for original song is I'm Just Ken from Barbie, It Never Went Away, American Symphony, Wazazi, Killers of the Flower Moon, and What Was I Made For, Barbie Again.
Yeah, Barbie gets two noms here.
Two noms.
And not even the correct, one of them's correct. The other one, not so much.
The not so much one is the one that I think is going to win, which is the What Was I Made For. I would die and go to heaven if I'm Just Ken won.
Is that your most anticipated moment of the Oscars? Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken?
Yes.
Okay.
This is my Natu, okay? I need to see it.
I'm sorry. This is nowhere near as good as Natu.
In excitement level, okay?
Yeah. I agree with you. What Was I Made For is most likely going to win, but I hate Billie Eilish. She is overplayed. She's not a very good singer. Her artistry is terrible. And I'm sorry, your music is just not there. So I don't want to give it to her, which is why I'm going to pick Wazazi from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Because, I honestly couldn't tell you what song that was in the movie.
I listened to all of these, and that one's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. I'm Just Ken would be awesome to win, but I'm really upset, I guess. I don't know a better word for it, that they didn't nominate the Dance the Night Away song from Barbie. You know when all the Barbies are dancing?
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning? What a great song.
It is a very good song.
Plus, I feel like I'm really happy that I'm Just Ken did get nominated. Because every year, the Academy just nominates these slow, boring, uninteresting songs that are all ballads. And sometimes you just want a banger.
Like Natu Natu.
Like Natu Natu. I'm Just Ken even is more balladish than bangerish.
Yeah.
Dance the Night Away, though? Oh, that would have been great. All right. Enough of the songs. Let's move on to original scores. Laura Cartman for American Fiction. John Williams, go figure, for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Won't win, but I'm pretty sure you just got to nominate him.
You have to.
Oh, he did a score this year? Nomination.
Yep.
Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon. Ludwig Göransson for Oppenheimer. And Jerzkan Fendrix for Poor Things. It's Ludwig Göransson's Oscar to lose.
He's the one I picked.
He's not gonna lose. He's been the front runner since the movie came out, and it's never faltered. I would be floored if anybody else won this award.
Same. Moving on to cinematography. The nominees are Edward Lachman for El Conde, Rodrigo Prieto for Killers of the Flower Moon, Matthew Libatok for Maestro, Hoyt van Hoytema, Oppenheimer, and Robbie Ryan for Poor Things. I get all the interesting names to say,
you do.
Honestly.
It's great. I selected these categories and I was like, this will be funny. Give her all
funny,
of those.
Honestly. I'm giving it to Hoyt for Oppenheimer. It is a beautiful movie. Just everything about it is so pretty.
It is. I'm also giving it to Hoyt for Oppenheimer. But I kind of want to see Edward Lachman get it for El Conde. It's
okay.
A really weird, messed up movie, but it's really pretty at the same time.
I could also see it going to Rodrigo. This is the one thing that Killers of the Flower Moon did all right, was the visual, like the cinematography.
Yeah.
So I could see them getting this one.
It's not as far of a runaway for Oppenheimer as I would have expected it to be.
True.
But I do think it's going to win. Adapted screenplay, nominees, American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Oppenheimer.
I'm going to my well and saying Oppenheimer. I feel like it's my well now. It's won most of my awards that it's been nominated for, and it's a better screenplay, I think, than most.
I agree, but this is a really big toss-up category.
Very.
I don't think there's a clear front runner here. It could go to any of these, except for you, Zone of Interest. Get the fuck out. It could go to any of them. I could see it happening.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Oppenheimer as well.
Yeah. Original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. I give it to The Holdovers. This was a movie I did not want to watch at all until you forced me to watch it to, you know, go watch the Oscars. I actually was pleasantly surprised. It's a very good script.
Is it a good script, or is Paul Giamatti just that good?
Both.
Okay.
Because the other people in it were pretty good as well. Like, they all had their moments.
True. I'm going to agree with you. I'm giving it to The Holdovers. I do think it's going to win. But May-December has a real outside chance here. Like, a real... I wouldn't call it an upset. I would just be like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But still going with The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Animated feature. The Boy and the Heron. Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Let's just call it what it is. It's a two-horse race here.
Although I wish Nimona.
Well, it's not
in the race, but it's my heart.
You know, I watched Nimona again.
Uh-huh.
I was not as impressed with it on a second watch as I was on a first watch.
I've watched it at least like 10 times.
That's because you watch everything like 10 times.
Not so much.
I don't know.
This one I enjoyed a lot.
I wasn't that impressed. The visuals seemed a little sloppy on second viewing, and the story got a little messy in the middle.
I don't see it.
I didn't love it as much as I did when I initially watched it. Just telling you. Yeah. Just being honest.
Go back to your 2-horse race.
I still liked it. I believe it's between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I don't think Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is going to get it, mostly because it's an incomplete movie. It's a movie that doesn't have an ending. Literally just fucking ends. And is like, oh, we're going to continue later. How do you give an award to that? It's so incomplete. Once the finale comes out in like a year, give the finale an Oscar. But also it's hard because the original Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Feature in 2018. Or for 2018. So maybe you follow it up and give it again? I don't know. But I'm going to give it to The Boy and the Heron.
I also give it to The Boy and the Heron. Moving on to actor in a supporting role. The nominees are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things.
Did you notice how your voice changed when you said Ryan Gosling for Barbie?
Did it?
Yeah, you got a little more like, a little bass, a little like sultriness in your voice. You
Ryan were like, Gosling.
You were like, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie.
I think I was kind of laughing because I definitely messed up saying Killers of the Flower Moon.
I don't know. It was just so weird. It was like perfect timing. It was great. It was great.
Well, speaking of Ryan Gosling, he's my heart pick and he's what I'm going with.
Come on.
Probably not going to get it, but I had to give it to him in my way.
He's not going to get it. It's going to go to Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. has won every single time he's in every ceremony. At every award show, he wins.
I'm very upset by that. I didn't think he was very good in that role.
I think he's the worst part of Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But apparently I don't know jack shit. So, all those...
Is this a lifetime thing for Robert Downey Jr. too?
It feels like that.
Okay.
Everybody's kind of giving him his roses while we can, rather than if it was too late.
This feels very Revenant to me.
This is... At least he was better than that. Okay. I would rather watch an entire Oppenheimer movie based around Robert Downey Jr. than anything to do with The Revenant ever again.
That is fair.
But here's the thing. I watch all the award shows. And I told you this before. The Oscars are kind of bitchy.
They're petty.
They're petty as hell. And they're bitchy. And they watch. The members of the Academy watch other award shows. It kind of informs them of who to vote for. And I've seen it in the past. Where somebody feels like they're at the top of their game and there's no chance they're going to lose the Oscar. And then they do. And you wonder why. And you go back and you watch. And they don't give good acceptance speeches. The Academy wants it to be a moment. They want you to win. They want you to cry. They want you to lose your mind over it. They want it to be a moment. And Downey's been giving us moments. Until this past weekend. When he won the SAG Award for Best Supporting Actor. And he phoned it in. It was a really great self-deprecating speech. Because that's what he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see it and hear it. He didn't want to be there. He was over it. He was done doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to give another speech. And trust me. That's going to play on the Academy. They're going to hear that. And they're going to be like, is that somebody we really want on our stage? Should we really vote for him?
Ryan Gosling has a chance.
I thought Robert Downey Jr. was 100% locked in. I still think he's locked in, but it's like 95% chance now.
Mm-hmm.
That 5% chance has opened up, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody came in and stole it. Let's go ahead and move to actress in a supporting role. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Nyad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Once again, I will tell you, Divine Joy Randolph has won it in every award show she has been nominated. And she's going to win the Oscar.
Is she giving good speeches?
She was giving really good speeches until the SAG Awards, where she just read a piece of paper. There was no heart in it at all. But she had just flown in for the SAG Awards from oh God, I can't remember the name of the award show, over in England, over in Europe somewhere. Mm-hmm. She had just flown in that morning from accepting award the night before. So her reading off a piece of paper, okay, we can forgive you a little bit because you're probably jet lagged to hell.
No one cares for the SAG Awards, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So she's probably going to win.
That's who I picked as well, and I knew absolutely nothing about any other award shows because I think there's just too many award shows.
That's true. Outside pick, who's your second choice?
Jodie Foster for NIAID. Agreed.
I want Jodie Foster to win. Divine is great in the holdovers, but I don't feel like there's anything magical about her performance. Mm-hmm. Where Jodie Foster holds NIAID together. That entire movie is on her back.
Oh, yeah.
And it only works because of her.
True. Next, we have actor in a leading role. And the nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction.
Who's your second place pick?
Paul Giamatti.
And he's going to lose to?
Cillian Murphy.
Agreed. And there's no other way.
I would be pleasantly surprised if Giamatti got it. I think it was Cillian Murphy's
Oscar
to lose.
He's destined to win it this time.
Yeah.
So, agreed. Two horse race again. Actress in a leading role. Annette Bening for NIAID. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan for Maestro. And Emma Stone for Poor Things. Side tangent. Mm-hmm. Give me 30 seconds here.
Okay.
Carey Mulligan is a wonderful actress. I think she's amazing in almost everything that she does. She doesn't deserve to be in this category. She doesn't deserve this nomination. She is boring as hell in Maestro. I don't think her performance is all that good. I'm not sure what the Academy was thinking when they nominated her, and it's embarrassing that Margot Robbie doesn't have that spot.
I will agree with you on every single spot. I wasn't a big fan of Barbie, but Margot Robbie as Barbie? Mwah, chef kiss.
Especially if you're going to nominate Gosling for Best Supporting and you're going to nominate America Ferrera for Best Supporting. How is Margot Robbie, who controls that movie, not nominated at all?
Don't get me wrong. I know it was a huge thing when the nominations came out, but none of the other people should feel bad about their nominations, especially like Ryan. I know everyone was like, oh my God, this is just explaining why the movie is a thing. And it's like, no.
No, he's fantastic.
He is fantastic in this role and deserves that nomination. It's just a shame that Margot Robbie didn't also get a nom.
Yeah. And I didn't like Barbie. I think Barbie is a trash movie. Mm-hmm. I think the message is very muddled and unclear in that movie, and I will fight people about that. Come at me. I know you agree with me. It's a very muddled message. The message is right. The way they did it is wrong.
Correct.
In that movie. But she's the lead of that movie, and you gave the other two support characters nominations, and you completely snubbed her. Mm-hmm. If I was part of the Academy who voted these nominations in, I would be ashamed of myself. That's how much I feel about this. Wow. I don't think she ever would have won.
True.
But I think she definitely deserved a nomination.
That being said, I'm going to give this award to Emma Stone in Poor Things. I think she had to go through quite the gambit of emotions in this movie and had to really show off her acting chops to get this character to even be possible.
A thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. She was the only reason to watch Poor Things. Mm-hmm. Her performance is amazing. Outside of all the illicit sex that happens, that is so unnecessary.
Yeah, I saw more of her than I ever wanted to.
Same. Same. But I'm going to give it to Lily Gladstone because she's been racking up the awards as well. Her and Emma have kind of been splitting them, but Lily's kind of jumped ahead a little bit. But, I have seen it in the past when it comes to the Oscars, where two people are fighting over the top spot. And because of that, third place actually wins because of the way the voting works. Somebody said, you know what? I would vote for Emma Stone, but everybody else is going to vote for Emma Stone. So I'm going to vote for third place just to give them a little boost. And everybody else has that same thing. So Emma Stone ends up getting, you know, 30% of the votes. Lily Gladstone gets 30% of the votes because they're tied and they're splitting the vote. Nobody can really make up who they want. and Sandra Hüller comes out of nowhere and steals the rest of the votes. We've seen it before. We've seen it with the movie Crash when it won Best Picture. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Green Book when it won Best Picture. And I believe it also happened last year when Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress over Angela Bassett.
That actually makes a lot of sense as to why Jamie Lee Curtis actually won, because I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, I think a lot of the voters just assumed Angela Bassett was going to win, so they put her lower down on their card, thinking, like, it's okay if I put her lower, because everybody else is going to put her at number one. And it actually screwed her by being such a front runner that other people could come in and snake it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but this is the category I feel like has a chance to do it.
If it does happen, you heard it here first.
Yep.
Moving on to directing. The nominees are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest.
Fuck you, Jonathan Glazer.
Not him, The Zone of Interest.
He does make good movies. This just wasn't it.
Yeah. It has to go to Nolan, in my opinion.
It's going to Nolan. We don't even need to have a conversation about it. It's Nolan. It's nobody else.
Everyone else just got their pity now.
Yeah. Like, don't even bother showing up. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who should not show up because they're not going to win, everybody else in this category except Oppenheimer. Let's talk about Best Picture.
Yeah.
Nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest, and your very clear winner, Oppenheimer.
This wasn't even a question. When I got my card, I basically marked that one first.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely going to win. The producers of all those other movies should just stay the hell home, because you're not going to get on stage.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Although I think they could throw us a curveball and do Barbie for some reason, just probably because it made the most money. But, like, I highly doubt it.
It's... Hold hope. Never gonna happen. Never gonna happen.
I won't hold my breath.
Yeah, don't. All right, that's it for us. That's our Oscar picks. You can come see us over on our socials by clicking any of the links in the description below. You can also come follow us over on Letterboxd by clicking those links in the description. So you can see what movies we're watching and what we think about some of these in more detail. Let us know, too, what are your picks for all of these categories? Do you care about some of the smaller categories? Are you only looking at the top five? Either way, come let us know. Come join us again next week when we discover who was right. Until then, be good to yourself, be kind to others, and keep watching movies.
Bye.